We're looking forward to a blessing from our brother Freeman Thompson. And he's chosen as his subject, the promises of God. The promises of God. Brother Freeman.
Good afternoon, brethren. We count it a blessing to be here in your midst, to be with those of like precious faith. I never get enough of being around the brethren. We've had some very moving testimony and lessons that were given this morning by Brother David, Brother O.B., and what we want to do is to, and I see someone that I hadn't seen for many, many years, Gaylene. I didn't even recognize her. I didn't even know her. But they were very moving. The promises of God. We want to take a look, not necessarily in the order that I name it, but promises that have been made to natural Israel. I think Brother Tom has just recently returned from over there. Those some made to spiritual Israel. Promises that have been made to all of mankind. We may look, if we have the time, we'll look at some of the, we've got to talk some of the conditional, some of the unconditional promises, along with some of the promise time features that were given and have been fulfilled. Brethren, I know, and you know as well, in Titus 1:2, we're told there that it is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for God to lie. What more could we ask for with the promises that he has been extended to us? Particularly you that are walking in the narrow way. The way is hard, we know that. That leads to life. And few there be that find it. Brethren, he'll never forsake you. Never leave you nor forsake you. It is impossible for God to lie. Hebrews 6:18. And if you want to look at that a little bit later, we'll be talking about that. And the oath that was made to Abraham, the promise that was made to Abraham. And here God makes an oath. There's no one any higher. This should assure you and I and give us the comfort to walk, dear brethren, in this narrow way. What is a promise? I've made a lot of them. I've broken a lot of them. I've broken a lot of promises. One from the dictionary here is what it is. One, an assurance given by one person to another that the former will or will not perform a specified act. Two, hope, a reasonable ground for hope or expectation, especially of future excellence or satisfaction. Something promised. One of the brethren, I don't know whether it was Brother David or Brother O.B., that mentioned Brother Barton. I don't recall which one. Is that you? In the booklet, Pilgrim Echoes, Brother Barton states, there are two classes of promises. In the Pilgrim Echoes book, And he goes on to, I'm quoting him, and I quote, there are over 3,000 independent promises in the scriptures, it is said. And of these, there are two classes. One being conditional. The other, unconditional. Such passages as Isaiah chapter 35. And Sister Kathy picked us up at the airport this morning, and she was talking about something about Israel and how the desert was blossoming as a rose. I told her, I said, I think I remember that one in Isaiah 35. God cannot lie. And here we are, eons later. They just visited there. And the desert is blossoming as a rose. The earth shall blossom as a rose. This will come to pass whether we are good or whether we are bad. It's unconditional. The earth will blossom and there are no conditions attached. And this is part of the glad tidings which shall be to how many? Oh, all people. Behold, I bring you good tidings of bad joy. No, he didn't say that. He said, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be. Thank you, brethren. Help me out there. There are certain passages, such as Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. Conditional. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. We know there are conditions attached. We have to overcome. And this is only promised to those who overcome. So here we see it is conditional. So with regard to a promise, there are three questions. One, is it conditional or not? Two, if there are conditions, what are they? Three, we might ask ourselves, are we fulfilling the conditions that are required? And still, I'm reading from Brother. I'm through with that now. But these were his words, not mine. Let's look at some of the unconditional promises for a moment. John 1:9. There was the true light which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. Not at this particular point in time, brethren, when we know the dispensations here. We have dispensation. At this particular point in time, Isaiah 60:2. Darkness covers the earth, and gross darkness the people. Brethren, all of this that was mentioned from the podium here with this May 21st. I was just saying, I said, well, why don't you just tell them you know the Lord's Prayer. God's will is going to be done where? As it is in heaven. You're asking for it to be perfected. Ecclesiastes 1:4 tells us, the earth abides how long? Oh, excuse me. John 5:28-29. We're going to be repetitious with some of this. And our Lord, these are his words. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, and those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. I think the King James, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it's the damnation. Is that correct? Jeremiah 31:34. I'm still speaking of unconditional. And here again, the writer. And I know he's talking to Israel, but the blessings are going to... Israel represents all of the world of mankind, too. They're going to have to become Israelites indeed. That's going to be very difficult, I would imagine, for some. But here he tells us, for they shall all know me from the least of them unto the greatest of them. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more. In addressing Israel. Well, we know, brethren, that there are some still on this side of in the holy, not in the most holy yet. Some are still on this side. And we know that in Hebrews 11:25, that a hardening in part has happened to Israel for how long? Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Well, we know why that happened. It's because he went to his own, and his own received him. But to as many as received him, he gave them what? The opportunity to become sons of God. So we know, even Paul talks about this quite a bit in the 11th chapter of Romans, but the thing of it is, Israel is just temporarily. We can see she's already back. She was going to be cast out. And we're looking at, we're on this end of time, and we see this. What was prophesied that was going to happen to Israel happened. And yet we see there he's going to bring them back. Are they back as a nation? I believe so. Last time I checked. But here again, after getting only a remnant from Israel, then what did he do in Acts 15:14? He went out to the Gentiles, and we can be thankful, dear brethren. He went out to the Gentiles to do what? To take out of them a people for his name. And all the prophets agree in verse 15 have spoken of this. And then we look at verse 16. And the next word there is after this. After what? After the completion of the little flock. After this I will do what? Rebuild the tabernacle of David which has fallen down. Well, brethren, that temple has not been completed. That top stone is not. And in fact, I believe if we look at 14th chapter of Revelation, verse 1, will tell us what? You saw the Lamb, and with him how many? No more, no less. But the church has to be completed first. And this is what we read a moment ago. A hardening in part has happened to Israel until that's completed, until the full number of Gentiles be come in. You know, in the Abrahamic covenant, the three wives, Hagar represented the law, her son Ishmael, representing Israel, they were cast off, and that was foretold. But by the same token, what happened with the angel when She ran out of water there. What happened there? Israel, dear brethren, their hearts have been hardened until the full number of the Gentiles be come in. And after that, I believe in verse 26, and so how many of Israel shall be saved? All Israel shall be saved. I know I have a tendency to do this, and I think Brother Ed, he's coming down. We're getting an addition to the family over there. But we're very thankful. The Lord knows. There were five sisters way back when I first started looking. I knew there was something wrong, but I was way outside of this court here. I don't think there's any spot on there for me. But the point of it is that those sisters, and I was blessed with the opportunity to be around those five sisters, which really helped me. They had been in the truth. Here I am. I've been in this nominal system, been in that system for all of my life. I had to be there whether I wanted to or not. But I had a, you know how teenagers don't rebel, do they? I rebelled. But the thing of it is that I'm so grateful today, and I did all of the funerals for those sisters. And I had the opportunity today to meet our sister Sandy's brother. Brother Ed, did you meet him? Or did you know him? Mike Burke, is he still here? I don't think he's still here. But that's Sister Sandy's brother, our dear sister in Austin, where Brother Ed and Sister G. But we are so thankful, and the Lord knows, just like I told Brother Ed, I'm getting along in years. And you never know. And this is the same thing. I came along at the right time for them. And what a blessing those sisters were to me in helping me in the narrow way and walking in the truth. Well, dear brethren, I get off, and I think most people that know me, I'll do that. I have a tendency to leave my script, but I talk. Well, someone said something about the heart a while ago. I believe my dear brother. I believe that was John. He said something about the heart. Well, I can't do anything unless it comes from the heart. I used to sing. Well, I still do, I guess, once in a while, in the bathroom, shower. But the thing of it is, if it's not from here, I can't project. When I was singing, it has to come from here. Let's look at a few of the conditional promises. In Revelation 2:10, this is conditional. Be thou faithful for how long? And I will give thee a crown of life. Again, Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Revelations 2:11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. In Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. But brethren, the trials, and we had some very moving testimony here. If we're not having trials, we need to take inventory. Because the scriptures teach, we're not above our Lord. It is through much tribulation that one enters the kingdom of heaven. That highway isn't open yet, dear brethren. The narrow way is still open. And it's hard. The way is hard that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Brethren, today we see with what's happening in the world. Our dear brother Paul, he gave a beautiful illustration of a woman in travail with child. Today, I've never seen it like this. Those pains are harder and closer together. I can't relate with the female, and that's other than sympathizing. That's the best I can do, but they can understand it more than we, brethren. Today, again, brethren, there's one spasm after another. So what does that tell us? The door's not going to remain open forever. So we have to make sure that we make our calling and election short. And he's given us these beautiful promises to give us assurance, to stimulate us, to give us encouragement. In Hebrews 10, you might want to read 19 through 23, but the scripture that I'm looking at here is 23, that he is faithful, that promise. He'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. That's a promise. When God makes a promise, you and I can rest assured that it will be kept. Sometimes we may not understand why things happen the way they do, but, you know, we're still in the quarry. The polishing, the chiseling. But eventually, that top stone will be put in place. And it will harmonize with that very top stone. Dear brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The reliability of God's word gives us comfort, peace, and hope. For those of you who came up in the court, that's a real blessing. You were never exposed to all of that darkness out there in those religious systems. So I've told brethren before, you can't relate, when they came up in the court, you can't relate to what I, because when I came out of that, I did, as Brother Russell said, though, I should have been putting, well, he wasn't referring to me, but those that are coming into the truth, they should lock them up for a little while. But I wanted to shake everybody that I could, because this is something I've never, as long as I've been in the religious systems, I've never heard this. I had no idea. Total ignorance of God's divine plan of the ages. Here again, the promises are backed by all of God's sure promises. And he reminds us through his word that he is faithful, that promise. He reminds us in 1 Kings 8:56, speaking to Israel, of all the good promises that God made to Israel. How many fail? Brethren? That is powerful. Not one promise has failed of all the good promises that God made to Israel. The threats, the good promises, they were there. We still have some naturally that haven't been fulfilled. Israel hasn't looked upon him whom they have pierced yet, but we know that eventually they will look upon him whom they have pierced. I believe that's Zechariah 12:10, if I'm not mistaken. God's eternal promises are the foundation upon which all that we hope for is built. The basis for all of our hope lies in the unchangeable character of our God, Malachi 3:6. He changeth not. The Almighty God has a definitely fixed purpose. And according to the Scriptures, all His purposes shall be accomplished. You may want to read Isaiah 46, verses 10 and 11. I might just talk about it a little bit more in a minute. Why? Because God's four attributes, justice, wisdom, love, and power, that would be totally contrary for Him to break a promise. So this is what has been given to you and I. Sure, we're going to have problems. None of us are exempt. But if we're walking in the narrow way, we're not above our Lord. We are not above our Lord. But the thing of it is, and I've been given mine here quite a bit lately, but then I see I needed some more chiseling. But He doesn't give it to Him. He gives it to Him for a reason. He chastises those whom He loves, even the whole world of mankind. Paul rejoiced in his suffering. Here again, the Almighty God changes not. Again, He is perfect in wisdom, justice, love, and power. So the unchangeableness of our God is one of the attractive features of His character. In Hebrews 6, verses 17 and 18. Even, and we're going to read that, those scriptures just a moment. Even when the Lord's word or sentence is against us, dear brethren, as in the case of His pronouncement against sin and sinners, and even though His unchangeableness will not permit Him to excuse sin or clear the guilty, this, dear brethren, is an assurance to you and I that as God has been unchangeable in regard to the penalty that was pronounced, He will be equally unchangeable concerning all the good promises that He has made to you and I. It is impossible for God to lie. Let's look at Hebrews 6 for a moment. We won't read it all, but verse 13 through 19. But I'll start it. I believe it's, is it 13 or 15? Yeah, 13. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. In verse 14, saying, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you. And in verse 15, and thus having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. This speaking to Abraham here. In verse 16, for men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as confirmation is an end of every dispute. But in verse 17, we read, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the, now notice this, the heirs of promise, the immutability of His counsel, He confirmed it by an oath. here again. Let's look at that again. God, the Almighty God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs, to those that are walking in the narrow way at this particular point in time, the immutability of his counsel. He confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that you and I might have a strong consolation, who have fled to refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Brethren, what a promise. The millions and billions of bright minds that have been on this earth, and this tells you something right there, you can't get it unless he gives it to you. No man receiveth anything except it be given to him by God. There are requirements. But that is such a beautiful promise, dear brother. Here are those apostles, those that were walking with him at that particular point in time. Sure, he said, yet I have many things to say to you, but you can't receive them now. But here again we look in Acts 2 there on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was poured out. When you and I made that consecration, dear brethren, to walk in the narrow way, you gave up everything that you, right here on this particular side, to do God's will. And if we are faithful until death, we're going to be with the blessers. You know, it says there were, well, in Revelation 7, you see how many there were, and it spells it out. And we know there are two classes that are in this holy. Well, there's three. One go out all the way. But the two classes there have been those that prove that make it on through, that are faithful until death in the sense that they do that which is required with that top stone up there. But then there's the other group, the great company. God loves them. And he has made provisions. We can see it on that pyramid there. I had my pointer here and I forgot to even take it out. Those senior moments come more often now than they used to. But again, getting back to that strong consolation, those of us who have pled for refuge lay hold upon the hope set before us. This hope we have in verse 19 as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. Again, let's look at some of the blessed assurances that have been given to you and I. Isaiah 55:10 and 11. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, here he tells us in verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that whereto it was. I guess I'm going in one of the other scriptures. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. I was quoting out of one of the other translations. Again, we've talked about 1 Kings 8:56. Not one promise has failed. Let's look at Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. 35 through 37. Here we have a thus says the Lord. All that's in the Lord is in uppercase. Now here's, remember we've already stated that it's impossible for God to lie. This is, Jeremiah is quoting what was given to him. It's mechanical back there then. We have a different intellectual, the Holy Spirit then. But they wrote as if they were blessed with these, with the thoughts. But here again it says, thus says the Lord who gives the sun for light by day, and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. The very next word, if. Now this is a strong guarantee, dear brother. If this fixed order departs from before me, declares the Lord, here another declaration from the Almighty God Jehovah, then the offspring of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. And he goes on in verse 37. Thus says the Lord again, if the heavens above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out below, then I will also cast off the offspring of Israel for all that they have done, declares the Lord. That isn't going to happen, dear brother. Israel is there to stay. I think if we look at Amos 9, beginning in verse 11 through 12, 13 there, Israel's there to stay. I noticed the prime minister, Netanyahu, was there in Washington here. Oh, is it this week? This is Saturday. Yeah. He spoke to the Congress, I believe. But here again, the right person is there at the right time. Mr. Netanyahu is, he keeps his gloves on. He's ready to go to war. But Israel is still hard-hearted. But we know that eventually. And Israel is not going to be moved. We know that the consummation in Jeremiah, 30, verse 7, I believe, Jacob's trouble, it hasn't completed. But if we look at the scriptures there, the whole world of mankind is going to recognize something here. They're going to learn from this that God was with Israel. And we can see he doesn't fight with weapons of war as man does. And all of these hordes that are going to come against Israel, they're going to have a problem. Israel, sure, Israel's going to have a problem for a while, but this is where those right there, that on the pyramid, that third one there. After this, he was going to rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. And then we're going to see Moses, all of these ancient word is on the scene eventually there. But God, Hagar was only cast off for a while. But there, what has God made? Does he not make a new covenant with Israel? Has that come into effect? I don't think Keturah, it wasn't until after Aaron took Rebekah into Sarah's tent when she had died. When that marriage took place, Sarah covenant has been completed then after that. But don't we know in 19:7 of Revelations that marriage, I see a lot here. That marriage has not been finished. What are we doing here then? But the thing of it is, once the church is completed, dear brethren, and that's The world will make it. They can't have preeminence. We know they couldn't have preeminence over Christ. Each one in his own order. But the thing that the promises that have been given to you and I, they are precious. They are precious, dear brethren. Here again, if you can break my covenant, he tells us, I'm on Jeremiah 33 now. Jeremiah 33, verses 20 and 22. If you want to look at verses 14 through 17 for the context, please do that, but I'm not going to read that right now. Thus says the Lord, if you can break my covenant for the day and my covenant for the night, that we read back in 31, so that day and night will not be at their appointed time, in verse 21 he tells us, then my covenant may also be broken with David my servant, that he shall not have a son to reign over his throne. Brethren, he goes on to tell us in 22, as the host of heaven cannot be counted, and the sand of the sea cannot be measured. We know that. So if you can do that, then he'll break his covenant with Israel. What more would we want? Psalms 33 and 11. The counsel, Psalms 33, 11. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. You and I have been blessed with these assurances that God's not going to break them. Oh, the sister that testified, I believe the second sister that testified, was talking about at our workplace. Who was that? That was you, sister. This torment, was that something to that effect? Was it about someone you were witnessing to?
Patient.
Oh, a patient. Well, Brother Ed Buckley and I, a few years ago, that's been a while, he and I had an opportunity here at the funeral that I did at, in Arkansas for Sister Mildred Rigdon. And by the way, brethren, I would be remiss, and I would be probably chastised, because I think one or two of them are listening. I bring you the love of those dear friends there in San Antonio and Austin. They wanted their love. Brother Hopstetter, we meet at home. My dear sister, Verna, finished her course here a while back. It was January. What was that, Brother Ed? You know?
It was last fall, before your convention.
Oh, that was. Well, like I said, those senior moments come more frequently now than they used to. But he continues there in his home. He wants to know more about the truth. He's been with Sister Verna and his daughter. She's had a lot of depression, but they are there on Wednesday morning, and they personally wanted their love conveyed to the convention here. And our Sunday class would be Sister Sandy and Sister Judy. We meet between San Antonio and Austin. And they wanted their special love sent to you also. Again, at the promises. Well, the sister, I was going to address that with Brother Ed. He and I were in Houston several years ago. And I brought this up to him, how they were burning their children in the fire to Molech. It's four times in Jeremiah, I think it's listed. Four times. They were burning their children in the fire to Molech. And God said, this never entered my mind. It is an abomination. So hopefully we've armed you with another slingshot here. But the point of it is, there's four times, I believe, in Jeremiah. I think it's one time in Deuteronomy. But the point is, and as I spoke at the funeral in March, I believe it was, in Arkansas, about dear Sister Mildred Rigdon, I had a chance to address some of this. And I told them at the funeral home, I guess maybe 10% or less were Bible students. But I told them, well, first of all, we have to accept the reality of death. And this is the problem with your religious institutions. You don't die. Well, I asked them, I said, how could there be a resurrection of the dead? But anyway, I was just trying to reason with them. But the point is that the seed was planted, and then I had quite a few questions later on that night. And this is someone asked me about this hellfire. I said, I wouldn't do it to my child. I say, am I more loving than God? Oh, my gosh. But here again, Isaiah 62. We know the old adversary, he's in the process of being bound fully. He hadn't been bound fully yet. We can see what's going on in the world today. But the part is, eventually, we don't have the dates on there, but between that 10 and, I mean, numbers, but between those two right there, they're going to all know him from the least to the greatest. Well, our Lord tells you, how is this going to happen? The covenant with Abraham. Well, our Lord answers that himself in John 5:28-29. The time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. This is why Christ died. To reconcile mankind back to the Almighty God, Jehovah. But here again, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Our Lord has declared the end from the beginning in Isaiah 46:10, saying, my purpose will be established. I quoted that scripture a little bit earlier, but I didn't read it. Will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Truly I have spoken, in verse 11, truly I will bring it to pass. I have planted. Surely I will do it. So, brethren, the time is coming after the church has been completed when they're going to, all under the new covenant that God made, that's going to make with Israel, under the Keturah covenant. All of mankind are going to be blessed. They will all know him from the least to the greatest. They're not on trial. The world, he didn't come to judge the world at this time. He came to save it. But eventually, when they're brought to an accurate knowledge of the truth, and in 10:26 of Hebrews, he tells us, if they sin willfully after having an accurate knowledge of the truth, then no sacrifice for sins will remain. I guess I have a little bit more time. Well, here again, we know the threats, the good promises, all of that that was made with Israel. And God told you in using the writer there in 1 Kings 8:56, not one of the good promises that God made to Israel failed. Well, dear brethren, he told Israel, and very quickly, in Jeremiah 16, and we're not going to read that, but they were going to be cast out. Again, we're just going to kind of go back a little over some of it. But they were going to be brought back. I believe in verse 16, the hunters and fishermen were used. We know what happened back there, the Zionist movement. In Matthew 23, the last two verses, Matthew 23:38, Israel's house was left unto them desolate. But again, we read a moment ago in 11:25 of Romans that their hearts were hardened for how long? Until the complete number of till the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And then all Israel is going to be saved. We don't have to. That little country over there, we know, they're not going anywhere. Oh, sure, we still got the consummation of the problem. But Israel, dear brethren, will be the first ones on the earthly plane. And then it tells us in let me quote that again. Acts 15:16, it said, after the completion of the Gentiles that would come in, after this he's going to rebuild the tabernacle of David because it had fallen down. And then in verse 17 he tells us, so that the residue of mankind, this is for all the rest of mankind that are going to be blessed with that Abrahamic promise. Brethren, it's been a joy. It's been my blessing to be here with you today. May the Lord overrule anything I may have said amiss. And may he continue to bless each and every one of you in your walk in the narrow way.